Recognition, power, and influence is your birthright, and this podcast shows you how to get there. Welcome to episode number 226. Today's episode, I am talking to you about the myth of work-life balance, how this aggressive approach to ensure that your company supports your own personal work-life balance efforts is actually keeping you stuck and keeping you from having the work-life balance that is already available to you. And I'm going to show you how you can create more work-life balance even today, even before you're promoted into a senior executive leadership position, and how it's best not to wait until you get there to start creating it. Let's get started.
Welcome to Women Changing Leadership. I am your host, Stacey Mayer, and I teach you how to get promoted, get paid, and bring your whole self to the leadership table. I am on a mission to change organizations from the C-suite out because women are the new face of leadership, and we are doing it on our terms.
Hello, corporate badasses. Welcome to another episode of Women Changing Leadership. I am your host, Stacey Mayer, and super excited, as always, to be here with you again this week. All right, so not all of the reviews for my podcast are really good, and my biggest critic is actually my daughter. So as I get into today's episode, I want to share with you, hopefully, what is an amusing / slightly vulnerable story. So we were at soccer practice and one of the moms asked me what I did for a living. And my daughter decided to interject and said, a podcast. And she was like, a terrible podcast is actually what she said. And I said, wait a second. I have a podcast with over 225 episodes that's changing women's lives. And my daughter's like, it's terrible. Now, granted, my daughter's never actually listened to the podcast, but actually, if she did, I think she would probably still say it's terrible because she doesn't need to or want to hear any of the things that I talk about. But I did find that amusing. I was like, really? Really? It's that bad, huh? But I was also really proud of myself in the comeback, and hopefully the soccer friend will actually give it a listen and be able to apply some of what she hears to her career. I wanted to share that with you. And then I also have another win to share with you. It is basically what it looks like when your dreams actually come true. And it's essentially what we're going to be talking about in today's podcast episode as well. But I had a client who, inside the leadership table, which is my advanced mastermind, these are for women who've been working with me for the past 3 months, learning and actioning on all the basics of my Promotions Made Easy process. And then now they transition into this larger mastermind group. As part of that program, you get direct access to me. So if you have a freak out moment or you even have a planning moment throughout your week, you can reach out to me and we'll hop on a quick phone call and we'll strategize through it in real time. It's a huge benefit of the program. So I thought that's worth mentioning if you didn't know. And this seems like it'd be something really awesome is to have Stacey in your back pocket. Reach out and we'll talk about working together. So this woman texts me and she says, hey, I need to talk to you. I just found out that my boss is leaving. And so I don't know where this conversation is going to go. It could be the traditional freakout moment, which is my one and only sponsor is about to leave the organization. But this woman I've actually been working with for about 3 years now. And so I didn't think that that was exactly the freakout, but I didn't know what was going to be on the other side. So I hop on the phone with her and she's like, oh my God, my boss just told me he's leaving the company and he put my name in to be his successor. So what that basically means is she would be the interim successor and then in line to take over the role permanently once he officially leaves the organization. And she's like, what do I do? What do I do? And I was like, well, first of all, explain to me, do you want to take the job or not? And she's like, well, yeah, of course. But I didn't expect it to happen this quickly. That was the first thing that she said. So 3 years ago, I don't even know if this next role was a part of her 3X vision. She was in such a different place at her organization and in her career journey. But basically what she did is she realized her 3X vision in half the time. I want to remind you all, when you have that 3X vision, it's like, be careful what you wish for because it might actually happen. And she's like, I can't believe it. It's happening. I have to meet with the CEO tomorrow. And I'm like, what do I do? What do I talk about? And so I coached her on specifically what she should say when her boss tells her about this opportunity and how she wants to move forward and perhaps what some of the questions that she can ask, because it's not just like, oh my God, thank you for the opportunity. Like, there's a lot of hesitations that she feels in her ability to have success in this role, and rightfully so. This is an imposter syndrome. But I'm sharing this win with you for obvious reasons. I mean, this is a huge opportunity for women in leadership in general. This is a huge opportunity for her and her family. It's going to provide an enormous amount of financial resources. And you might also be listening to the story and think it's going to provide an enormous amount of work. And now that goes into today's podcast episode, which is about work-life balance and what we're actually trying to accomplish in our careers. If you're listening to this podcast, it's because there's part of you that wants work-life balance. And there's not just a part of you, there's every part of you. There was this huge misconception when I first started coaching, and I think some of it was my own insecurity as well. When I was coaching women to get promoted, that they would say, I don't want to be promoted because I don't care about the title. I care about my family. I care about other significant things in my life. And I was like, well, of course, don't we all? We all care about that. There is nothing that I do in my life that isn't about my personal well-being. The reason that I run my own business, essentially, like especially initially, was because it was easier. I was like, I like having freedom and flexibility with my kids. And then quickly, when I started my own business, it was harder than anything I had ever done in my life. You know, working at the hedge fund, I made a ton more money than I ever did in my business in the first 5 years. Like, no way, hands down. It was not a lucrative job. Yeah, I had more time freedom and flexibility, but yet that basically just means I was spinning out all the time or working at night or worried about clients or wondering what's next or having to strategize about possibilities. So even for those of you who think, oh man, it'd be so great to have that freedom so that I could run my own business and that would give me the flexibility, or I could work at an organization that actually cared about me and that would give me the flexibility, or I could work for other women, or I could work in an industry that just really fueled me and that would give me the flexibility. All of those are seeking work-life balance from the outside as something that can be given to you based on your circumstances. And today's episode, I want to show you that work-life balance is not something that anybody else owes us. And it's not our company, our organization, our boss's responsibility to provide us with work-life balance. It is a privilege to have work-life balance at your organization. And there are ways that you can begin to understand this concept and actually put it into practice so that you can create work-life balance for yourself today, and still advance your career. And I think for a lot of women, this just like completely blows their mind because one, I can't do it today because I'm completely in the weeds. There's no way that I can have more work-life balance because of my boss, because of the organization, because of the needs, because of this specific project. Or they're like, someday when I get promoted, even though we say titles don't matter to us, we still think, man, if I was in charge, wow, I would have so much work-life balance. That's not true, right? Like when I'm telling the story of my client and how she's been given the opportunity of a lifetime, she is literally thinking, holy crap, you know, shit's about to hit the fan for my family. Like everything is about to change. But the good news is I have taught her along the way how to create her own work-life balance through every single step of the process. I was having a conversation with a potential client the other day, and she was telling me that, you know, work-life balance was very important to her. And she was like, you know, I'm not sure if I want to be promoted necessarily. And I think she was like a lower level manager. And she was like, you know, it seems like the directors work really hard and they work more hours and I'm already working so many hours. So this idea of getting promoted is just going to take me even further away from my family. And I was like, okay, well, you know, if that's what you think, but I disagree. And then she proceeded to say, but I can see how if you put in the hard work now and you really focus and you buckle down because I'm willing to do the hard work, then someday I'll be able to have work-life balance. And I was like, That is not at all how I see it. And I was able to share some of my insight with her, but I want to share it with everyone listening on a broader level. And the reason why I say, that's not happening is, think about this. If you are looking towards your retirement as the moment when you finally settle down, like when you're finally able to relax, like age 65, or for many of you, like 70, that is a pretty crappy life. And we know this because I think for a lot of you, you're not waiting until retirement to enjoy your life. There's not this grass is greener on the other side of retirement mentality as much anymore, especially for women. If I work really, really hard my entire career, then I can finally relax on the other side. But most of you, that's not the mentality. So you're so fixated on getting the work-life balance now so that you're not waiting for retirement. But the way that we're going about getting that work-life balance is actually wrong. The way that we're thinking about it on the other side, let's say the other side of leadership, once I am in a leadership position, then I can finally relax. So that's not a great way to view things. Once I have worked for a company that appreciates work-life balance, then I can finally relax. Once I have a boss that allows me to leave every day at 4 o'clock p.m., I can finally relax. Once I have a boss that actually cares about my children as much as I do, I don't know why a boss would care as much as you do, but I can finally relax. It's like this idea that work-life balance eludes us because of our particular situation. Now, let me describe to you what I see and notice for my clients. And these are clients at all levels of leadership. There are a few things that create work-life balance for us right now that create that idea of freedom, that idea of being able to have flexibility and time with our family. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a caveat, which is that there are a ton of industries and a ton of situations that are never going to give you work-life balance, no matter what I'm about to say. But I would say 80% of you are actually in a situation where you can start to create this work-life balance for yourself right now. So an example of this would be people who physically have to go into the office. Like I have a client that basically she is in charge of the entire human resources department at her organization, but yet it's such a small organization that she has to sit at her desk from 8 until 5 every single day. Her boss also has that mentality that, you know, if you're not at your desk, you're not working. And my client feels like she's constantly being nitpicked about her hours and like if she takes a sick day. And even though she's in charge of this entire group, what I would call that, and this is what I tell her and tell all of my clients, is that you're getting paid by the hour versus your ideas. So for many of you, if you're an individual contributor or you're a lower level manager, there is this sense that part of your job is to get paid by your deliverables, quote unquote, hours. And I mean this hypothetically, like you don't actually have a time clock and you clock in or anything like that, but more like on a, if you just kind of think of it conceptually, do I feel like I get paid by my output and what I create, versus the ideas and the more strategic impact I'm able to make in my organization? Am I being called in for my ideas? And for many of you, you're stuck in this sort of hourly-ish position where you're just like churning it out. And if you continue to stay in that environment and continue to get promoted, but yet one, the mindset is that I get paid by the hour, the people around me treat me as if I get paid by the hour, then it's just more money, more problems. You're just creating more work for yourself. And many of you are on these career paths and these career trajectories that are never going to give you work-life balance. So that was a very long, lengthy caveat, but know that it is still what our goal is here, is to transition into an ideas-based role or an ideas-based perception of ourselves and our company, our leadership, everything like that. As we're looking at our role and continuing to expand our role, we have to start adding in this idea of ideas-based conversations from the beginning. So even if you're an individual contributor or you're already in a role that is really sort of defined by its output, the easiest recommendation that I have is start having 15-minute ally meetings with people who are part of your lateral. They're just people outside of your group. It could be outside of your company. You're scheduling 15-minute ally meetings so you can get used to having conversations that are ideas-based conversations, not the output type conversation. So you can start to feel that. Now, here's how it pertains to work-life balance. Generally speaking, what we crave when we think about work-life balance is, yes, for sure, the hours with our children and our family and being able to do whatever the heck we want, whatever that is, having that space to travel, to take time off, like whatever that might be for you. But also what we're craving is inclusion. We want our ideas to matter. We want to feel like our work matters, like on the bigger scale, so that it's not just about this output. Even if it is about this output, it's like, what's the impact of that project and the greater organization? Am I being paid adequately or like above and beyond? So what I start to notice for my clients is that we shift our work-life balance in this sort of micro way, where we start to understand our value from this ideas place. And then we start to claim and own our value through promotions. So we're actually actively seeking that next higher level of leadership. So that way, we're actually moving out of the technical hourly job. So whether you're like a senior director or even a vice president, I had a C-suite executive that was totally stuck in the weeds all of the time. And it can just feel completely overwhelming. And then not only that, you get feedback that you need to be more strategic, you need to pull out of the weeds, and then you don't even know what to do about that. So starting this transition early and often of understanding what your ideas are and how you include them in the conversation is already going to start to make you feel more included. And then if we can turn that into a reciprocal, meaning that you actually are getting higher titles, you're getting paid, you're getting called into management team meetings, you're included in higher level conversations, you get awards, you're actually able to see the benefits of the work that you're doing in their clients and their customers. When all of those things start to happen, you're like, oh, this is amazing. I feel better. I'm operating in my strengths. I feel like my work matters. This is great. That, my friends, is work-life balance. Actually seeing the benefit of your work makes you feel better. When you go back to your family, you're not feeling like you grinded it out all day. You're coming back to your family and you're inspiring them. Like, even when my daughter says that my podcast stinks, I don't care because I know that having a podcast with 225 episodes is incredible. Like, she sees that. She can joke about what I did, but she's also saying, like, my work in the world is to help other women. She knows that that's what I'm doing. Maybe she doesn't appreciate it as much as I would like her to, but she knows, she sees that. It's the way that I show up with my family. That's how that work-life balance starts to translate and come into our homes. Now, as we start to move into this more ideas-based leadership, We also are noticing that we have more time freedom, like technical time freedom. So if you really are understanding yourself as getting paid by your ideas and not the hours that you put in, then you do this thing that women tend to do that totally sabotages them. You stop asking to leave at 4 o'clock p.m. so you can pick up your children. And instead, you start asking to leave at 4 o'clock p.m. because you've gotten all your work done. And yes, maybe you're leaving at 4 so you can pick up your children, but your company doesn't care about your work-life balance. Another woman that I'm coaching one-on-one, she sent me a recording of a conversation that she did, an informational interview about a job opportunity. And she actually asks the woman about this particular role and what the work-life balance was like. And I was like, what? Why would, don't ask that question? That's a terrible question. And unfortunately, I heard the woman lose trust in her when she asks that question. I actually kind of heard the conversation in real time sort of spiral out. The leader that she was asking, she was like, well, I mean, you know, we care about people. We let them have freedom, but we also work really hard. And she's like, you know, me, I have grown kids, so I don't have as many demands at home, but if you have young kids, then I could And none of this says anything about this leader and her ability to give my client work-life balance. Like, I don't see this as being like a tyrannical leader that says you have to be in the office all these hours. But unfortunately, what my client did is she just asked a bad question. And so we don't want to make our personal work-life balance somebody else's problem. That's never my goal. Understand that you are wanting to shift into an ideas-based role. Figure out what that means for you. And then now it goes into the final piece, which creates work-life balance for all my clients. And that's this idea that we are in charge. We're in charge in so many different ways. And so when the woman who was the potential client and I did the call with her, what I was basically saying is that when you become a leader and you understand that level of in-chargeness and you are calling your own shots, then you do start to achieve that work-life balance. But you have to understand what that's like, because you can be in the C-suite and feel like you're chained to your desk. So it's not a given that as you advance into higher levels of leadership that you're just automatically given time freedom. And you have to understand what that's like and your value that you bring to the organization, and then act accordingly. Now I'm going to leave you with something that's probably going to deflate you. And it is the fact that all of my clients who have advanced into higher levels of leadership work harder than anyone else that I know. They are completely shocked at how much harder they work when they get to that higher level of leadership. But what they're doing is they're working at a different level as well. So there's a definition of harder. And what harder is not because they have to work more hours. It's harder because the problems that they're solving are more complex. They're also solving relationship challenges at a much higher level. They are responsible for literally the organization and who's going to be laid off. They have to have multiple conversations with their team about accountability and what's not working. They have to go in front of the board. They have to go out and fundraise or their company will die. So the significant impact of their work becomes so much greater and so much more important. But that's also where the benefit comes in. So they can really see the impact of their work. And then our work together becomes a lot more about managing emotions, managing clarity at that higher level, really understanding what it is that they're trying to create at that higher level, being able to influence, have conversations, work better with their CEO. There's just a whole nother level of work that I'm doing with clients once they've made it to that higher level. From a technical perspective, and we see it too, we're like, oh my God, this just looks like more money, more problems. It doesn't have to be, because they also understand their individual significance and the role that they're playing in this greater organization. So they don't have to feel Like they're out of control, because here's the piece that I mentioned before this is that they're 100% in control. They're in control of their calendar. They're in control of their emotions. They're in control of how they handle difficult situations, how they handle the chaos, what they bring home. My clients at that really high level, they're leaving work at 4 o'clock every day. They're not checking in with somebody to see if it's okay if they do that. They're even telling people they can't travel. They're going on maternity leave and coming back to promotions. They're taking a sabbatical that's due to them. I literally had a woman who came back from sabbatical and was offered a promotion. That's because they understand their value. They create their own work-life balance, and then they are able to show up to their career 150% to do the work, and then to also recalibrate and really show up for their families or themselves or their friends or their parents 150% as well. It is an incredible life, and I am so grateful to be able to help so many women do this and create this life. It is 150% available to each and every one of you. Even if you're in a role where you're still technically feeling like you're getting paid by the hour, you can begin to elevate these conversations right away. And I really want to encourage you to look within yourself to create that work-life balance and to start to find ways. And even if that one way is leaving that particular job, that could be the answer. But begin to start really looking within yourself and saying, how can I create work-life balance? And what do I need to do to truly show up at my organization and get paid for my ideas instead of the hours that I put in at work? All right, my friends, thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week. Bye. Before you go, I have a question for you. Do you know how close you are to your next promotion? Really? Not what your boss has told you, not what you even believe to be true, but have you actually taken the time to sit down, take an assessment, review the 5 categories that it takes to get promoted into senior executive leadership positions, and decided where you fall in each category, and given yourself a ranking on a scale of 1 to 10 of how close you are to getting your next promotion? Have you done this? Well, now's your chance. If that feels interesting to you and you're like, hey, I want to know exactly how close I might actually be, or how far away you might be, and what it's going to take to get you even closer, then I invite you to take my promotability quiz. This is a quiz that I put together with practical tips that actually tell you where you're lacking and where you're winning. What are the areas that you actually need to improve, and not necessarily what your boss is telling you all the time, so that you can take concrete steps towards landing that next promotion and changing the face of the leadership table. Go to yourpromotabilityscore.com to take your free assessment today. Yourpromotabilityscore.com, and let me know how it goes.